Welcome to The Sync Report, the intersection between filmmakers, content creators, and musicians, where we host a weekly conversation with some of the biggest names in film, television, music, and entertainment. Meet industry experts and top-level musicians as we pull the curtain back on music placement and scores, building vital relationships and providing real opportunities for our listeners. Listen to indie filmmakers and content creators present their latest productions and describe specific scenes as they consider music submitted by our audience. Hosted by film star and musician Colin O'Donoghue and his co-host, the godmother of independent films, Rose Ganguza, and The Sync Report's creator and music supervisor, Jason P. Rothwell. Don't forget, tell your friends about us and remember to rate, comment, and subscribe to The Sync Report on Apple and across all platforms. Music is the difference between a good film and a great one.
Welcome to The Sync Report.
Thank you, Milfredo and Willow, for that lovely introduction, and welcome to The Sync Report. Let's welcome our producer, Paula Flack. Hiya, Paula. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Colin. How are you?
I'm good. I've got a little bit of a cold, but I'm good. I sound very husky.
That's terrible timing, because I hear you're off to San Francisco.
I am. Yeah. I can't wait. It's going to be great. So I got the all clear. Excited. I don't have COVID. Yeah. I am very excited. I'm just very laid back.
You are the cool of our show. So I like that.
Yeah.
Are you going to see
the Golden Gate Bridge while you're there?
I will, for definite. Yes. And then I'm going to go on up to Sonoma, up to wine country, which I can't.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Okay. So just making us more jealous of this guy. He's like gorgeous, talented. He goes to all the coolest places. Oh, God, I hate this host.
Are you going to watch Sideways before you go?
Yes.
I've watched it so many times. Yeah. Yeah. I just, what is it? I just have to not drink Merlot, isn't that it?
No, it's Pinot Noir, I think.
Pinot Noir.
Oh, Pinot Noir, yeah. Pinot Noir, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I'm going to drink it all, don't worry.
Sorry, California, you'll be out of wine.
You will be out of wine next week. No, I can't wait. And it's supposed to be, the weather's supposed to be beautiful, so it's going to be great.
I'm not jealous. Should we move on to the guest now?
Yes.
Let's move on to the guest. Well, Paula, who have we got on the show this week?
Well, this week we have Jess Duckworth on the show.
Yay!
Jess became known as the piano doctor during her first job as a qualified doctor at the Royal Devon and Exeter Hospital, when she was often found playing one of the hospital pianos after her shift. When COVID struck and the stresses of working in the NHS became extreme, Jess's piano playing helped to bring a moment of peace to staff during their breaks and if they were passing by on their busy shifts. In 2019, Jess recorded her first album, The Piano Doctor, which consisted of her own compositions and was recorded at Peter Gabriel's Real World Studios in the beautiful countryside near Bath. Released during the summer of 2020, the album hit a nerve throughout the world and the songs achieved over 1.5 million streams worldwide. Her story captured the imagination of the media, and she was featured on UK national news programmes. In 2021, Berlin-based Silent Beat Records signed Jess as an artist, and in 2022, she released The Piano Doctor Volume 2, an EP of music she composed during the pandemic. On release, the album appeared at number one in the UK classical iTunes chart and was inside the top 20 across all albums. This release has already achieved streams in excess of 1.5 million. Jess appeared on UK radio shows to support the release, including The Michael Ball Show on BBC Radio 2 and Woman's Hour on BBC Radio 4. The track, Beautiful Endings, has been playlisted by Classic FM here in the UK. Jess is currently composing her third album, due to be released in the autumn of 2022. Let's welcome Jess Duckworth to The Sync Report.
Welcome, Jess.
Yay.
Thank you. Hi, everyone.
Well, look, it's not every day that you meet a piano doctor. We're going to dive into your journey and find out how you got this title and help us go back to your early childhood years. So I'm going to start off with, what are some of your earliest memories with music? Did you have anyone in your family that played an instrument?
Yeah. So actually, my grandfather was an amazing musician. He played the piano and he was my biggest inspiration for all of my musical journey. So he used to compose music every time one of his grandchildren were born. And so I still very vividly remember the piece that he composed for me, and he used to play it to me when I was just a young toddler. Wow. And I would dance and run around the living room, and that's some of my earliest memories.
I love that.
Yeah. So yeah, he's definitely my biggest musical inspiration for piano and so beyond, I guess.
Was he the first person then to introduce you to the instrument that you play now?
He was. Yeah, he sort of sat me in front of the piano before I could walk and talk, and would show me the notes, and I would get really excited by him playing his amazing pieces. And yeah, it grew from there, really. I loved it from that point. And then my parents got me lessons, and then I just never stopped.
Fantastic. Well, I think that we actually have a clip of John Duckworth, Moon River.
You know, I cry every time I hear that song. Oh, so I'm wiping away the
so
tears
powerful.
Here. So, yes, given your early start in music, what influenced your decision to train in medicine over becoming a professional musician? Was it kind of right brain, left brain?
Yeah, it was actually a really difficult decision, which profession to go down as a career, because I loved my music, and that's kind of where my life revolved around. But academically, I loved the sciences, and being a doctor was something that kind of came to me really late on in my sort of academic upbringing. And I thought, actually, I could train to be a doctor and do music on the side, whereas doing it the other way around, I think, would be quite difficult.
Yeah.
And by this point, when I was sort of late teens deciding what I wanted to do, I'd learned to love composing and writing my own music. And I thought, you know what? I could do that alongside training as a doctor. One day I managed to combine the two, which has just been, it's just exceeded all my expectations. So yeah, that's kind of...
And it must have been a welcome outlet to studying medicine, because
yes,
I'm sure that parts of that drive you completely insane, but you,
yeah,
you know, having that creative outlet must have been wonderful.
Yeah, 100%. That's my, music is my escape. So if I've had a horrendously stressful day on the wards, especially during COVID when it was just...
It soothes the soul. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Just listening to you, I'm falling in love with you all over again, Jess. We had the chance to connect before in our clubhouse, the live sessions, when I first heard your music, and was mystified with the family dynamics. You were talking about your father and obviously your grandfather. I mean, just incredible. So I know that you're surrounded by just brilliant people, loving and caring. And I know that they were sharing music with you. I'm just wondering, during those early years, were there any specific composers that kind of really left an impression on you and influenced you for the music that you do today?
No, definitely. So because growing up, I was sort of geared towards the classical side of playing, both through my grandfather and through sort of the classical training. And I think the two composers that have really left an imprint on me as a person and on my composing are Chopin, and I think Chopin's nocturnes are some of the most beautiful music ever, in my opinion. And Debussy, especially Clair de Lune, is a piece that I just can't stop playing from when I learned it.
Milfredo has a clip. Let's play a little bit of that so the audience knows what she's talking about.
Thank you.
Wouldn't you just love to hang out, have a dinner party at this woman's house? What class, what style, what taste?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful piece of music, you know, and it's been synced so many times and you can hear why it works so well in films. You know, I wanted to ask you, Jess, were your musical tastes more focused on the classical pieces of music due to your interest in composing, or did you listen to a variety of other genres as well?
Yeah, I definitely listened to quite a drastic variety of genres, mainly because my dad was, so he's been in the music industry for like, I don't know, 30 years or something like that. So he just constantly has music playing at home, which was such a fabulous way to grow up because I just got to hear so much of his genres of music. And I think I definitely have a bit of an eclectic taste because my sort of go-to popular music are things like Supertramp, the Beach Boys, Pink Floyd. They're just what I grew up listening to. I think a highlight of my teenage musical years was probably Coldplay. Love all of their music, and they have a lot of emphasis on the piano as well, which I think did influence some of my pieces as well.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned that because we actually have a clip of Trouble from Coldplay if you want to hear it. Spin it, Alfredo.
A spider web is tangled up with me, and I lost my head. And thought of all the stupid things I'd said.
Oh, I love that song.
It's so beautiful. So Jess, how much classical training did you have? Did you study theory and composition formally as you were growing up?
Did, yeah. So throughout my primary and high school years, I sort of worked my way through the grades. I don't know if it's the same in the US, but here in the UK, we have grades 1 to 8. And to progress beyond grade 5, you have to study theory, which at the time I resented a lot because I hated theory. But actually, it has formed the basis of all my composing. So in hindsight, it was incredibly valuable to learn, yeah, the theory behind all music, not just classical, but popular music as well. So yeah, that's kind of where my composing grew from.
I have to say, I don't think there's as much theory training in music in the United States. So that's really lovely to hear, actually. What about some of your early compositions?
Yeah, so I think my very first composition was actually a piece that I wrote for my grandfather's funeral, which was definitely one of the most emotional things I've ever written on the piano. But yeah, I definitely used my classical training to sort of incorporate and entwine into my interest in the romantic era of classical music. So,
That's pretty amazing. We have a clip of Song for Oompa, which you composed and played for your grandfather.
Jess, will you marry me? Oh my God.
Okay then.
Wow. I mean, I have to say my heart is about to explode right now. My heart beats still. I have to take a minute.
Back up, Kev. I'm already here.
Yeah. I mean, that was just, I mean, this has been such a lovely episode so far. You know, besides the gorgeous piano pieces you've written, you write and sing as well. Is that right?
Do, yeah. I love singing and I love writing vocals as well.
What inspired the song Wintertime?
Yeah, so Wintertime is actually the one song that I've officially released, as in including vocals. Wintertime I wrote a few Christmases ago, And I wrote it when I was at home, in my family home in London. And it was the first time that all of my immediate family had been together for years. And it was one of those wintry evenings where it was freezing cold outside. The ground was crisp with those first bits of snow, which we don't get very often in the UK. And the fire was roaring, and it was such a warm, just cozy family evening. And I just felt I wanted to write some music that encapsulated that feeling. So that's the inspiration and the feelings behind Wintertime.
The pictures that she draws in her verbalization and storytelling. Oh my God. Let's, Kev, I think we have a song. Let's play this track.
Snow can't balance on the branches of the trees this winter.
So, Jesse, you're currently in Bristol and they've got a great music scene. I was wondering if you play your pieces in a live setting there, and, you know, do you sing some of the songs with vocals that you haven't released, or do you just mainly play instrumentals?
Yeah, so I played a lot of live music pre-COVID. And then, unfortunately, as we all know as musicians, COVID was pretty hard hitting for the live music scene. So I did manage to keep up playing my music live, but that was in the hospital, which is a little bit different.
Yeah.
But equally, I just love playing live. And so that's how I managed to keep it up through the pandemic. But now that we're coming out of the pandemic and live music is finally coming back, I am starting to do some performances. So I've actually got one coming up that I've been practicing for all day, which is at a big charity gala. And I have been asked to be the guest musician at this big healthcare conference.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I've just been relearning all of the pieces that I've written over the past couple of years, which has been really nice, actually.
Jess, when you're playing in the hospital, this is part of, because I remember you telling us the story when we spoke last, this is part of the recovery process, isn't it? And weren't you seeing some incredible patient responses from the music?
Yeah, so I think one of my most vivid memories of playing in hospital was actually when I played with a group of musicians in the children's hospital. And this was amazing because some of these children are so sick that they don't respond to anything. But as soon as they hear music, they just light up. Yeah, that's one of my most vivid sort of memories of playing in sort of a patient setting.
What incredible.
As a doctor, I've always been very fascinated by stories of things that cure people that are not medical, that are out of the medical sphere or out of explanation or whatever. Have you found, I know you did some research when you were doing your master's, but practical experiences that you've had where music changed or gave you the ability either cure or improve a patient's status?
So you're absolutely right. Music has an incredible ability to change the way that, not only the way that we feel, but the way that a room and an environment feels. I guess for more recent experiences, because during the pandemic, we haven't been allowed to bring instruments or anything onto the wards, just to sort of reduce the spread of the virus. But I have been able to play for members of staff, which has actually seen quite an unexpected transformation in the hospital where I was working, which I didn't expect it at all. But I started playing music at the end of my shifts just for sort of my own well-being, and it helped me switch off after a busy sort of 13-hour shift. Because I play in the chapel where there's the piano, and there are big glass doors where I just left them open, and it's just off the main corridor of the hospital. So the members of staff who were coming in at the start and end of their shifts could hear the music sort of washing down that main corridor. And people would start to trickle in and hover at the door, come and sit down. And they would just say to me how much of a difference those few minutes of relaxing piano music made to their day. And that was just so encouraging to hear that not only would it help me off after my stressful shift, but I could help other people to switch off.
So just could you say in theory that by creating something that is relaxing can then reduce anxiety and then promote a quicker healing process for people?
Yeah, definitely. So as part of my research, I sort of discovered the incredible effects that music can have on how we feel. And not to get too scientific, but it affects a particular part of our brain called the limbic system, which controls our feelings and our emotions. And it's amazing what music can do to our brains and to the way that we feel. And I think it should be used more in hospitals.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm...
Sounds like it. So did you write Beautiful Endings? Did that come out of your work with the patients on your ward? Because we have a clip of it right now.
Yeah, it did. So the album that I released a few months ago was actually written about my experiences of working in hospital throughout the pandemic. So if I'd experienced something or felt something during my shift at work, I would come home and I'd sit at the piano and I would just write about that feeling. So Beautiful Endings was one that I wrote about some incredible patient and family reunions that I saw happening in hospital, mainly because during the pandemic, understandably, we couldn't have visitors and family members coming in.
Yeah.
Which then meant those moments where patients saw their families again was just some really emotional, beautiful moments. So I wrote Beautiful Endings about those moments.
I want to check myself into her hospital.
No, I was going to say, I wish we could clone this lovely woman.
I was just saying,
on a million different people.
Just back channeling with Paula, just like, you know, what one in a billion kind of human we have on the show tonight. Yeah,
yeah, I believe that, Jess. You're wonderful. Let's play Beautiful Endings. Jason, you need for a major label to pick up this lovely person.
Honestly, no. When we get our label, we have to steal. Yeah, we got to sign this woman immediately.
So, Jess, your first single released from Volume 2 is called Into the Light. Yeah. Paula mentioned you've started on a third album. Is that right?
That is right. I am in the process of composing. Well, I did a bit today, actually.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Well, is there a running theme throughout, or is there a different emotion you're exploring in the new songs?
Yeah, so this next album is going to take a bit of a different direction. So the last album was more about working through the pandemic, as I described before. But this one, I haven't got an official title yet because it's very much in the works. But it's going to be about new beginnings. And not only is that new beginnings in terms of coming out of the pandemic, but I have a lot of sort of personal new beginnings in my life. I've just started a new job, which is in obs and gynae, which I think in the US you guys called OBGYN. So that is all about bringing new life and new babies into the world. So that's another strand of those new beginnings. And just moved to Bristol, new beginnings there. And I think for everyone, it's just, you know, life is changing. So that is what's inspiring this new album.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, if it's okay with you, we have a clip of Into the Light.
Look, I have a last question. I know Kevin has one more question for you, Jess. This has just been so delightful. And I'm in such a, I might just have to go like fill the bathtub up and turn the classical on and just kind of chill out. And just think of your music. It's just so, so that's, you know, I'm kind of building an atmosphere because I wanted to lead into my question. If money wasn't a factor, you know, with the kind of music that you write, what would your ideal stage show look like in your mind's eye?
Oh, that is a very good question. So I think I would like to do, if you imagine a concert where the stage is all dark apart from it is flooded with candles, including candles on the grand piano, creating this really just peaceful, relaxing, but beautiful sort of aura. And I would play these relaxing piano pieces that are kind of interspersed with visuals. I'm a very visual person. I love art and I'd love to sort of incorporate that into it, but also incorporating vocals into it because I think performing vocals is one of my favorite things. And I've actually got sort of an album of vocal music that I've never released, but I'd love to somehow bring that into my performances. So I think I would incorporate those into it to tell a story vocally as well as that sort of relaxing piano music.
I would actually buy out the entire theater so I could be the only one in the audience. Oh my word.
I'd love to have you.
I just made my entire week.
So, you know, this has been such a lovely episode. I mean, like I said, my heart is swooning, it's swelling, I'm soaring. And I love classical music. I mean, anytime, you know, I need to just a step back and relax, that's my go-to. But I am always thinking about how to spread the word about classical music. And when you mentioned OBGYN and babies, it just made me think about the next generation, how this music is going to impact and go to the next generation. Have you thought about that at all? You know, different ways to connect for this next generation coming up. I know that you were exposed early on, but I know that your music would really touch so many people, especially the generations coming up.
Well, that is actually a very good question. Where I'm playing my music, first of all, sometimes when babies are being born in cesarean sections, they play my music in theatres, which is really lovely. But other than that, I think having just moved to Bristol, which is a really sort of thriving young place to be, now that we can play live, I'm hoping to be able to play in venues where there are young people and young musicians. And there's a big sort of music scene in terms of people training in classical music in Bristol as well. First of all, playing live in venues where they are, I think, is the first thing. But also playing to people who maybe aren't interested necessarily in classical music, because it's such a powerful tool, but some people just don't know about it. And I'm also going into schools to give talks to young people about the power of classical music and to try and inspire young people who are may have a vague interest in music to try composing.
God, what else does this woman do? I mean, she, you know, giving life, giving education, giving hope. unbelievable. Oh, my heart, be still.
I was just going to ask Jess, obviously, she knows I used to work for her dad. And I was wondering whether you'd taken any inspiration from the occasional visits to EMI that you made. I vaguely remember seeing you come into Brook Green a few times.
Yeah, that must have been when I was about 12 years old running around.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think coming to visit my dad at work in the music industry just made me so excited to be doing music and just seeing music in the real world and behind the scenes and what happens just made me think, oh yeah, this is so fun and so cool and I just want to be in this world. So yeah, I think that's the way that it inspired me as a musician.
And I noticed that your music choices were actually all the bands that we were working on.
Yeah.
Like Supertramp, Beach Boys. That's yeah, what you were forced to listen to at home. As totally. But they're obviously great bands.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, my dad still plays them on repeat.
Your dad came in, you know, came up on stage and we were talking with him. Wow, what an incredible man. How's he doing?
He's doing great. Yeah. He has literally just entered retirement and now he spends all his days listening to the Hi-Fi System nonstop, which is brilliant.
Oh, good for him. Please send all of our love.
I will. I'm sure he sends it back.
Hey guys.
Hey, Jace.
Hey, Jason. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Just buried in paperwork.
Oh, for the sync report.
Not this time. Move me no mountain.
That indie film your music supervising?
Yeah.
Sounds like a great project. What's the problem?
It's a brilliant film and we're building a great soundtrack, but you can't imagine how much paperwork I deal with for these films.
Have you heard of Sync Lodge?
First, you got to draft up the sync request forms.
I've heard of Sync Lodge.
Then drafting and issuing contracts.
Yep, Sync Lodge is great, Paula. It does everything a music supervisor needs.
Then deliver the cue sheet. It never ends.
Doesn't Sync Lodge do all of that automatically?
Sweat Lodge? What are you guys banging on about? I got real issues I'm sharing with you guys.
Yeah, lots of issues.
We're trying to tell you, Jason. Sync Lodge is a new platform for music supervisors. It helps you to source the music, sync songs against scenes, draft up sync requests, and even creates the cue sheets once you've locked in the music to the film.
Whoa, Sync Lodge does all that?
It's true, Jason. I just started using it for the sync report, and it's not only saving time, but it's so easy to use, I'm actually enjoying the work.
You guys are the best. Sync Lodge sounds amazing and exactly what I need for music supervising. Why am I always the last one to hear about these things?
I've been telling you about Sync Lodge for weeks.
Don't feel bad, Edge, for not telling me sooner. I know you're busy. You're a good guy.
Paula, is my mic on? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Edge.
Guys, what's the name of that program again?
Sync Lodge.
That is something to scream about. Yes, you too can be cool like Edge and use cutting edge technology to help you with your film and TV productions. No matter if you're a music supervisor, director, producer, editor, save time and increase proficiency with Sync Lodge.
I need to find a new gig.
Sync opportunities.
Tonight we have something really special. Recently, our CTO connected us with a group of individuals who are literally changing the world. They're putting something together that is creating hope, positivity. It's uniting celebrity musicians, sports figures. I really would love to hear more about World Peace School Sports Day. If you're feeling comfortable, can you drop a few names of some of the athletes that are supporting this program? And then maybe we could talk about where it's rolling out and what we're doing on, you know, that people can actually participate in.
Derek, I'm going to get you to start off, but if I can just say Dean's incredible work, and we were brought together by Dean Goldberg, who's, you know, obviously had a fantastic career in the entertainment business as well.
Another legend.
Finance, yeah. another legend. And you know, it's again, I think it's serendipity, you know, meeting Dean and bringing us together. And Marianne Shanley, absolutely incredible journalist, definitely headed for the big, big time. There's no question about that. Marianne came up with the double tap of the heart, which
beautiful.
I hope yeah. is going to become viral around the world, because it's verbal and nonverbal. And we're just asking everyone from, you know, from the King of England to the, you know, to whoever it is, to double tap the heart for peace, you know. And it's such a special,
such a simple request, but
it's
so
such
powerful.
A simple request. Yeah. And we'll come on to the other magic that Marianne has in a minute. But Derek, do you want to tell them a little bit about the incredible people you've brought to the table for us?
Well, in the early stages, it was about building momentum around a simple concept, really. All schools are involved in PE. They have physical education lessons. Yep. They will have a sports day every year. And my sense was we didn't want to overcomplicate this at all. We wanted to build upon what schools would already do to make a hugely positive statement around the voice of young people, and particularly then the power of sport and all of the values that it brings. So in the early stages, I was fortunate to be able to engaged particularly Paula Radcliffe, the former world marathon record holder, world champion, Commonwealth champion, European champion, a winner of the Chicago and the New York City marathons, appropriately. Alongside Paula, Steve Cram, world 1500 meter champion, world record holder, Olympic silver medalist, BBC commentator, works alongside Paula, does a lot of work as well with foundations, and a number of members of the team that we've mentioned already have been very influential in bringing, for example, football foundations into this mix.
Is there anything online where people could participate and watch and witness?
Absolutely, on the website and on all the social handles. So, in fact, we didn't give it. We'll be killed by the rest of the team. www.worldpeaceschoolsportsday.com and all the Twitter handles, hashtag, I think it's WorldPeaceSSD, are the hashtags on Twitter and Instagram and on TikTok, which, of course, is so critical nowadays as well. So please like, share and follow across social media. And double tap that heart.
And there'll be lots of young people actually literally passing a baton from one to the other across the world on social media. So there'll be some great visuals there as well. So yes, please do join us.
Oh gosh, what an incredible interlude to our show. Again, I'm feeling motivated. I'm feeling inspired. And I'm hoping that you guys are sharing that with us. And please do make sure you check out the website, share it on your socials, follow these guys. They're on Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn. I mean, you know, the places to go. So make sure you follow them and support. These are the people that make a difference in our world. There's not enough of you guys. So congratulations. Best of luck. And again, thank you for spending your Sunday evening with us. All right, guys, I think... Let's move into some music. I mean, after that, I don't know where to go. I really almost feel like we should close the show and let everyone just ponder and think and let that seep in what these gentlemen are doing. It kind of makes me feel lazy. All right, I'm going to move into my hellos. I want to say hello to my team. I want to welcome DeFingas to the stage, who's going to be our guest panelist for the night, taking Kevin Sharpley's spot because Kevin is doing homework on a Sunday. There is so much going on for the Sync Report, I can't even tell you. I just want to say hello to these incredible people because they do make my world turn. Jody, how's it going? How's Connecticut?
Beautiful. When you were talking about the British football, you know, my boyfriend is a new lover of soccer, so I've listened to many, many games.
Really? I'm surprised that Jeff is into soccer. He's such an American. But although, look, he loves hockey.
Hang on, so... who's his team before you get excited?
You
go.
Okay.
Oh,
go.
God. Okay, if you can...
Careful what you say here now.
I think it's Liverpool.
Oh, you'll never walk alone with us. That's for sure.
I think it is.
And John W. Henry is American, so there's a great Anglo-American relationship there.
I think on the Liverpool application form for membership, the fan membership, it's what part of America do you live in, I think.
I thought there was Manchester United.
Yeah. It's all changed now, though.
Jeff, just walk back in. Who's your favorite team?
I'd have to go with Liverpool.
Oh, for God's
sake. Oh, good man.
Jurgen Klopp.
Greatest club that's ever lived. You'll never walk alone, Jeff.
Well, I guess I can't be a fan. I'm constantly walking alone. Excellent. Well, thank you, Jody. Thank you, Jeff. I love both of you. Jody, you continue to make us proud with the visuals that are going out constantly on social media. The graphics are brilliant. Hello, Heather. How's it going? We were talking about Canada. Were the cockles of your heart warm?
Actually, everyone in Canada is talking about who's going to be on our money next.
Who's going to be on who?
On our money, because Queen Elizabeth was on our money. Wait, now I'm bringing up more sad things, though. But that's like the biggest thing in Canada right now.
Can we nominate Mike? What is it? What is your currency called? Are they just Canadian dollars?
Canadian dollars. Yep.
Mike Myers or something?
Oh, my God. I love that.
Kind of a hybrid, and he's a hybrid.
You've been doing an amazing job. I'm so glad you're part of this team. Just like Phil. Hello, Phil, our MD for the Sync Report.
Hello, hello, hello.
I've been watching these wonderful pictures. I mean, is it possible at 50 years old you could become a model?
Of course, yeah. Well, I'm 52 now. I'm advancing in my years. I'm just thinking at 52, can I be on Canadian money? Was that allowed, Heather? I mean, can I be, if not me, Vinks? Can we be on the Canadian money? As Brits,
I think the only way for you to be on Canadian money is if you start storing it under your bed, my friend.
I mean, I'm from the same place as the Queen. Does that count for anything? You know, that
I'm
we can be
sure
next
as long
in
as you're
line?
Not. If you're not Canadian, you could be on the money.
Thanks.
I'll put
just
in a
put
good
me down
for,
on the
yeah.
list. I'd appreciate
See,
it.
That's what I miss about Ireland. Before, they used to only have poets on their and writers on the money. I thought that was so cool. Excellent. All right. Well, I'm going to move through this quickly. I want to say hello to Paula Flack, another Brit. How is it going, woman? Are you hello. Packed? Are you ready hello. To get to Dublin?
Well, I've got my suitcase out ready to go. It's about 10 foot wide.
So, and you've been busy. You have been responsible for getting everybody's hotel room and organizing this amazing Dublin. Everyone except for me, apparently.
You're going to bring this up, are you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope.
I think you're sleeping with Milfredo, aren't you?
Oh, really?
No.
Oh.
He's not.
Oh,
no,
I knew
you've
it.
Got a double room as well.
Oh, oh. Christ!
Milfredo and Jason. Yeah, okay. Milfredo and Jason.
Jason
just
does
remembered
have a hotel room.
Whatever night that's on, I'm busy. I just remembered.
Jason does have a hotel room. It just happens to be in a different hotel from the rest of us.
Oh, right, I get it.
We had this conversation earlier. It's
yeah,
not,
I've it's been
not
banished.
Fault.
I can't hang out with the crew.
We're in the one-star howl-hole and you're in the five-star. Is that how it works?
I think it's the other way around, actually. You
know, yeah, yeah. I'm in, apparently there's four other strangers in my room. Have you ever seen that movie Hostel?
Maybe. Is that a horror movie?
The great horror movie. I'm going to be starring in that in Dublin. The Dublin version, Hostel 4. Let's make sure.
Oh yeah, we did say we could get you into an all-female dorm room, didn't we?
Well, if that's the case, that's I don't mind. Like. I have my dress picked out for the night, so I'm ready. I'm ready. Vig's here.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
I am feeling cro-magnificent.
You are always magnificent. On every level, and some great things are happening for you, my friend. Boy, your retreat in November just keeps getting more and more exciting. When are we going to start to announce these sync opportunities that are going to be exclusive to your writing situation?
Well, we'll figure all that. I'm going to see you in Dublin. I think they're going to let me in the country. We'll see. Because, you know, I think there's a picture of me with a big slash across my face.
That's right. You're going to be in Dublin with us on the 15th, Vinks. That is so incredible. Thank you for taking time out of your mental schedule between you flying around the world and taking your scooter trips across France. I don't know how you're making time for us, but I love it.
And they said, I get the room with Milfredo. I said, oh, shit.
Yeah, we're all staying with Milfredo.
Oh, Christ. Good luck, my eyes just went really big at that stage.
You'll have to have a French event next.
This is going to be the gumbo of all time right here. Milfredo, Jason, and Vinks. I think we can start our own. Yeah, I think this is the beginning of a new TV series.
Yeah, it was a little vague. They said, yeah, you'll stay with Milfredo. We'll work it out when you get there. I'm like, oh,
he's got bunk beds as well, apparently.
No.
I think so. Bagsy on
top. I'm on the top.
I'm too big for that. I had to bring a blow-up mattress.
All right, guy. And Milfredo, welcome back, my friend. I know you've been on a world tour yourself. One more. The Fingers. How's it going, my friend? Welcome to the show. You're coming in a new capacity tonight. You're actually going to be part of the ringleaders, not being judged, but judging. Do you have your judging cap on?
I think I gotta find a judging cap. But glad to be here. There's no way I can replace or stand in for Kevin, so I'm going to just be me.
Yes, we want you to be you. And listen to his voice, Polly. He sounds too nice almost, doesn't he?
He's lovely.
He's so sweet.
And brilliant and talented. And that's why we invited him to be a guest panelist.
That is why I love that we can bring in members of the community that have impressed us with their songwriting capability, their production styles, and actually incorporate them into the show. So how do you feel about this? The thing is this are we wearing out our welcome in your life, or are you excited to be here?
Excited to be here. I actually wanted to say a couple of things before you roll into it. Definitely condolences to anyone, everyone who was affected, obviously, by the death of the Queen. And today is also a significant day in the United States. If you remember, the terror attacks of 2001 happened today. So condolences to anyone who was directly affected there. And of course, with the passing of the Queen, my dad is Jamaican. So as you heard, Canada is affected with the money. My dad is Jamaican, and Jamaica served the Queen also. So there's things there at his hometown affecting that. So hearing things like Derek and what his team is doing with World Peace, School Sports Day, I might have messed up the name, but hearing things like that, especially on a day like today, just brings a sort of positive light amidst all the bad news and pandemic. And then also we have sports, you know, American football, which is, you know, it's an interesting sport. It's not the European, the original football, but that is kicking off.
But we do love our football. We do love the American football.
That kicked off Thursday night, but today is the big official kickoff of the NFL season. So been enjoying all of that. And of course, making music as much as I can for different opportunities.
Amazing, amazing. All right. Talking about music, what do you think, Paula? Should we get ready? Should we bring our first, I can't say victim, our first guest up on stage, our first songwriter up on stage?
I think so. Are you ready?
Who is it? Tell me.
Okay. So first up, we are going to listen to A Summer Day by Rick Randlett. Play it, Milfredo.
What a charming piece. Annie, welcome back to the stage. Why don't you give us a little background? Was that a cover? Was that original?
Yes. Hi, everybody. This is Ann Bellow. I represent a composer, and I'm actually his publisher. That was an original by Rick Randlett. Yeah. He spent COVID really working on getting away from performing live music to really working on these productions. Of course, it's about a relaxing summer day by the lake. Mm. He's also come out with a new album called Orchestra Indigo, which is all orchestral songs in the same type of vein. He's just loving doing this. I think he's finally met his calling. So one of these days I will get these people up and on our program.
And you have such an incredible roster. I love the music you're bringing through the room. Yeah, and almost kind of perfectly in tune, like leading us from that last conversation. There was something very peaceful and angelic about that tune. And it reminded me of something. I just kept my finger on it. But that is a good thing most of the time. The fingers, what do you think, my friend?
Vibe of it, and when I was listening to it, it just reminded me of like an animation, more so than like a live type thing. Something that came to mind is sort of like I don't know if you've seen the Disney movie, Pixar movie called Inside Out. It reminded me of just like a scene from there, or maybe a scene in like an animated field. So yeah, that's what was coming to mind when I was listening to it. And I think Anne, Rick can even take it further by adding even a little bit more movement on top of what's there. Some low strings that are doing some more faster type things, even on the same notes, and that could add some more energy to it. As is, I think it'll work great in something like that, like an animation type thing.
Thank you.
I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, that was the thing. It was like, it was beautiful, but I think a little more movement would really improve that track. And thank you for that wonderful kickoff to the sync sessions. What a roster you have. Incredible.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening and commenting. I appreciate you all.
All right. Moving on to number two.
Right. The next song is Morning Child 60 by Caroline Hill Moore.
What great titles we're getting tonight.
Play it, Milfredo.
Incredible. That was beautiful. Caroline, where's Caroline? Is she on stage?
Hi, Jason. Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Caroline. Say hello. What's going on? Who are you? Tell us the background. You know how we start. Who are you? Give us a bit about the song.
Okay. Thanks so much for letting me be here. And I'm thrilled that you played it. I'm a composer, producer, I mix and engineer, and I master for some other people. I've loved music since I was 5. I love to collaborate. I love to be inspired. And this room is so full of inspiration. I loved hearing the speakers and talking about how we can make the world a better place. And I just want to make the world a better place through my music and through my friendships. And I'm just thankful to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, wow, Caroline, how lovely. I detect, are we a Southern Belle?
I do live in Virginia, yes.
Oh, I love it. I do. I think it's one of the sexiest voices out there. I love it. Ooh, la la. This woman, guys, what do we think? The music's incredible. Her speaking voice is she's been doing it since she's 5 years old. How have we not been talking with this one more often? Vinx.
Caroline.
Yes. Talk to me, Vinx.
I loved it, Caroline. It fits in so many places. Perfect for goodbyes when you drove across country to drop your daughter off at her first day at the college. When you think back and all the times you spent together and the love and the energy and the hugs and the passion. And then you've done all you can and you let her go. And this is a beautiful piece that sparks the imagination.
You know, this is what I love. I love hearing everybody's interpretation, like when they can, you know, in their mind's eye, what they're seeing as they're hearing this music. For me, I'm constantly like trying to find you know, music for the sync report. So like you almost like can see the astronaut kind of floating around space and, you know, where he should be panicked. There's this peaceful tranquility. But at the flip side, to hear Vinx's description, I could totally see that. And that is the magic of music. It can really, the narrative really could be so diverse when we're talking about these cues and instrumentals.
Thank you. I appreciate all of the comments so much. Thank you. Thank you. I did play it for a mentor of mine, and he thought that I should contact a cello player. So I have contacted a cello player. The piece itself is longer, but I cut it to a 60 second and a 30 second just because of time. And I thought that's what y'all were looking for, but it is longer. But I'm excited to be able to work with a real cellist. And I did write it originally for my grandchild. So thank you. Thank you. I'm just so blessed and thankful to be here. I look forward to submitting more. Take care.
Excellent. Well, we're going to look forward to that, actually. Thank you for, oh my gosh, Paula, what's happening? The artistry tonight is top bar. Wow. I think we have one more song to play.
One.
All right.
You're rushing ahead.
No, hey, ho.
Jump around. yeah. Okay, so the next song that we are going to listen to is called Spot by Lord Bart. Play it, Milfredo.
Oh, cool. All right. So now all of a sudden I'm in the dance club. I'm feeling it. I'm moving. I'm shaking. I'm digging it. Lord Bart. What a cool name. Lord Bart. Welcome to our stage. Thank you for that song. Please introduce yourself.
Nice to meet you. Finally.
Nice to meet you. What a fab stage name. Tell me, who are you, Lord Bart?
I'm an Italian producer. So I'm trying now to come inside of this business about the sync world. I run a studio here in Italy, so I work with artists. I'm new to this kind of, I don't know, stuff.
Oh, my, okay. Pause. Everyone stop. That's an accent we have not been able to enjoy in our crew. Oh, my God. Lord Bart, welcome to the stage. I love your voice. I love the track. I think you're going to be a fixture to our future shows. We need some Italians in the mix. Milfredo, what do you think of this guy? Pasta.
Yeah, my nan was Italian, but all I don't know any Italian. I do eat a bit of pizza and I do like pasta. That's as close as I can get. Sorry, Bart. That's not too much of a stereotype, but yeah. But I can say it because my nan's Italian. So she was from Padova. So I don't know if that's too far from you or not. But anyway, but the tune, I really liked it. It was, do you know what? It was warm. It was well produced. And if he's saying he's just, it just had a nice roll to it. It just kept moving. Do you know what I mean? And everything kind of had a signpost into the next section. It just all rolled really. It reminded me of like a theme tune or something for like a, I don't know, like a UK cop series or something. Do you remember Juliet? You won't know, but Paula, Juliet Bravo. Do you remember that, Paula?
Yes.
Yeah, you do. But do you know what I mean? It just had theme tune written all over it. Yeah,
she says ashamed.
Yeah, she didn't. But some guys I used to know from Italy, and they did this. It was kind of like a toned down, like techno they did, and it was kind of supposed to be a mix between techno and disco. And they unfortunately they called it Tesco, right?
Oh no, very unfortunate.
Yeah, but they did. But this kind of reminded me of that. It was just like everything was just really kind of wasn't offensive at all, but it was really nice and rounded, and hats off to you, Bart, the production on that was really nice. Real your relation to Lord Buckethead from the Raving Looning Party, you'd fit in well there, I think, mate. But in all seriousness, mate, I loved it, what you've done. And if you are new to the game, that's hats off to you.
Yes, so okay. Lord Bart, where in Italy are you based?
Okay, near Naples.
Oh, beautiful, excellent. Well, welcome to the Sync Report, man. I'm so glad you've submitted this track. I hope you'll continue to do so.
I'm trying to build relationship with the actually American singer, because here in Italy, obviously, I have some difficulties to find good speaking, good pronunciation.
Well, you've come to the right place. Actually, Paula, don't we? We've created a new Sync Report communities page now, right? Where we're going to encourage the network of artistry in our community to connect with each other, to write and produce and do things internationally, locally, but to connect the dots through our thing. How do people find that, Paula?
So they just need to look for the Sync Report group. It's a community group. It's connected to the Sync Report page on Facebook. And it's live, and you can, you know, go in there and post what you're looking for. And hopefully people will use the group to network.
This is exactly why I am here now.
Yeah, exactly.
And well, I really appreciate this kind of connection opportunities, I would say. Perfect. I truly love what you do with your job.
Mille grazie.
Incredible. Incredible. We are on fire. But I think we have one more song from our network that we're going to play tonight.
As a
bit of a tip of the hat, a thank you, and just to show how much we love this guy's work.
Correct. We are listening to The Nucleus by Marcus De Fingers Mandison. Play it, Milfredo.
Now, let me tell you, that's a cue. Jeez, is that a cue? That was incredible. The movement, the growth, the climax. It's everything. It's a music supervisor's wet dream, that is, De Fingers. You just fingered my ear hole. That was awesome. Vinks, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you think? Oh, my God. Am I on mute?
He's building to something, I think.
No, I'm just trying to recover from the finger in my ear.
I'm surprised no one laughed or told me I'm disgusting. No, seriously though, that music was brilliant, was it not?
Oh yeah, the fingers, you know, I gonna have to go and, you know, touch myself or something. I don't know.
You and me both. Oh my God, that's perfect. Wait till you hear the song I'm going to close with. Milfredo, what'd you think of that track?
I knew he was a genius. It's War of the Worlds. It's Mike Oldfield. It's just like, it's just massive. Everything about it, that rumble undertone, it could so easily have just like ruined the track, but he's just got it perfect. It just feels, it doesn't only fill your head, it fills the track, but enough. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes when you get a sound that just you think, oh no, this needs to breathe, but it did breathe, even though it was full to the brim. So the man's a genius. Yeah, it was huge, mate. Well done. Yeah, I'm not worthy.
Incredible. The thing is, tell us a little bit about that track and what you were aiming for, because I think you hit it on every tone.
This one in particular, I think it was around the time where I was working on a lot of cinematic neoclassical stuff. So this didn't actually fit that project, the neoclassical trailer stuff. So it was just more of a one-off during that period, but I like the way it ended up.
Yeah, you killed it, my friend. Incredible. Thank you for being part of our panel tonight. Your feedback was bar none. Incredible, incredible, incredible. We'll definitely have you back in that seat. And always, Vinx, your commentary is legendary. Milfredo, there's nobody better. You bring this whole show to such an incredible level. Our panel just rule. I'm just so proud of you guys.
You do too, Jason. You bring it to another level, definitely.
Yeah, but that's going low. I'm taking low level. I'm talking high. You elevate, I bring us down. So the juxtaposition, that's the thing. You need the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we've got it all here on this stage. Paula.
No doubt.
Paula, my beautiful, beautiful producer, my genius producer. It's all right that you didn't make sure that I have a hotel in Dublin.
Oh, God.
It's going to be a lot of madness happening in Dublin. Our whole team almost is coming. I can't wait. Lisa Dunn just got into Dublin. My sister, Stacey Rothrick's in the air. The NFT buyer of Tier 3, JJ Day, has come. I think she's landed now. Oh, my God, the fun we are going to have in Dublin. If anybody is listening and you are in Dublin, come to the show. This is going to be a massive party. Heather, great job tonight, as usual. Jody, you are a goddess. Phil, I absolutely adore you. Anybody that I'm forgetting, I apologize. But I do absolutely love this team. I love this community of songwriters. Be kind, be safe, and love one another. Until next Sunday.
I want to thank Jess Duckworth for joining us on today's show, and to you, our listeners, for spending your time with us. The Sync Report cast will be back in a week with your hosts, me, Colin O'Donoghue, Rose Ganguza, and Jason P. Rothberg. Until next time, take care. And be kind.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week.
Today's episode was produced by Jason P. Rothberg, Kevin Sharpley, Paula Flack, and Robert Capadonna. It was written by Jason P. Rothberg, Kevin Sharpley, Lisa Dunn, and Paula Flack. Editing was by Jason P. Rothberg, Milfredo Seven, Paula Flack, Edgar Edge Kameh, and Adam McNamara. Research by Lisa Dunn. Graphic design by Jody Lynn Talevi. Brought to you by Zavatar.